you know, she was telling me about, you know, the situation, and so we could pray about it. And my wife kept saying, Bill, there's something in this room. She said, there's something in this room. And I said, there's nothing in this room. I got up and went and looked, and there was nothing. And laid back. She said, there's something in this room. And then she laid down, and she let her hand lay over the side of the bed, and it went right on this cat. And the cat screamed, ah! And I screamed, oh! But what she sensed that there was a presence. There was a presence in the room. And so when you are walking with God, you are able to discern when a presence that's evil.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the discerning of spirits. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the discerning of spirits.
Everything that they said came true. Not, they didn't make one false prophet. See now, what kind of God would we serve if God said one thing that was wrong? I wouldn't want to serve a God like that. You know, I want to serve a God that is right every time, that gets it right every time. And so we can see that sometimes people are saying stuff, they're prophesying stuff. If they prophesy something about, well, you know what? By next year this time, God is going to give you a wife, or God is going to give you a husband. And that next year come and go, and you don't, and I see some of y'all laughing because y'all know what I'm talking about. Next year done came and gone, and you don't have a husband or wife. That was a false prophet. That was a false prophet. And so, you know, we need to have that ability to be able to search the scriptures and test what is being taught. Secondly, we need to have the ability to tell whether a teaching is from God or is from the devil. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That there are teachings that are from God, and there are teachings that are straight from the pit of hell. And as a child of God, you should be able to sit down and discern and understand which is which. You know, that's why, you know, I pray, man, you know, and we need to pray. You know, it's been a blessing this year to go to all these graduations, all these young people in our church graduating. I think we had, you know, probably 10, 12 young people that have graduated this year. And I've enjoyed going and being a part of their celebration. But you know what we need to start doing now as a church? We need to start praying for these young folk. Because they're getting ready to go somewhere where their ideology is going to be challenged, where their philosophies are going to be challenged, where, you know, they talk about, well, you know, Christ is going to be denigrated. You know, one of the loneliest experiences for me in college was being a Christian in college. The professor was against me, and the students were against me. And I felt like the lone ranger out there. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, we need to pray. First of all, that these young people are not influenced by negativity. They are not influenced by things that will destroy their faith. They are not influenced by all the teachings that they have had by their parents, that they have had here at Bethany Baptist Church, that those are not chipped at and eroded when they go on to the college campus. And I pray to God that they would all be strong and that they would stand strong in the midst of the bombarding of the faith and the bombarding of Jesus Christ. Because it's coming. It's coming. And you know what? We ought to start. Somebody here ought to get a heart and start a ministry for college students. Now, when I say ministry, I'm just saying a prayer ministry for college students where we just have all the college students and we lift them up on a regular basis, that we got all their names on a list somewhere, and we're just praying for God's protection around them. Because they're stepping up. How do I know? I've been there. They're stepping up to another level of attack. And the attack is demonic. They are so demonic. They might be the smartest professors in the world, but there are some demonic professors that are out there that are going to rip away and strip down their faith. And unless we pray, And unless we continue to encourage them in the things of God and in the things of Christ, they're going to be under attack. And they may buckle underneath the weight. And so they need discernment. Young people going onto the college campus, they need discernment. The ability to distinguish the truth from error and right from wrong, according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We won't turn there, but you need that ability. You need to be the ability to be able to sit down and look at a situation and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is false. That's discernment. And it's got to be that quick. You need to have, this one right here. And I wouldn't think that I would have to say anything like this, but you need to have the ability to tell the difference between the true gospel of Christ and another gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. People that say that they are saved. Now, once again, I already said something about a national figure, but there's another national figure who got on TV in front of the whole country, a preacher, and said that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus. A preacher said there's another way to heaven other than Jesus. And Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we say before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And once again, we need to understand, what is it? What is the gospel? And I'm going to go over that here in a second. But what is the gospel? To be able to discern. And when I sat there that day, and this preacher in front of a national audience on several television stations, I was listening very carefully to what he said. Didn't think that he would go down this road at all. Had respect for this man as a preacher. Had respect for this man as a servant of God. And to sit there and just in my mind, almost, just kind of rocking myself in this grid, just rocking myself and thinking that, well, he's going to be all right. He's going to be straight on the gospel. He's going to be straight on that, and just rocking with a certain degree of comfortability that this guy's going to be straight on the gospel. And then all of a sudden, he said that there's another way to heaven other than, it's right there. That discerner went up. He was putting me to sleep with the rest of that speech. But see, that's what ought to happen. Something ought to happen inside of you when you hear something that's not right. Whoa, wait a minute. That didn't sound right there. And if somebody comes and starts talking about there's another way, and don't let, once again, I know y'all get mad at me, but that's all right. Don't let one of y'all's favorite tell you that they're a free-thinking Christian and that they believe that there are other ways to heaven other than Jesus. All right, don't let one of y'all's favorite, all right? And once again, I praise God for all the great things that she's done. A lot of great things. Works in Africa, works right here in this country. I mean, great philanthropist. Great philanthropist. So, I don't want to take anything away from that standpoint. Great philanthropist, but poor theologian. All right? Poor theologian. Because when you can make a comment and say that, I'm a free-thinking Christian and that there are other ways to heaven, that's another gospel to me. That's another gospel. The ability to distinguish pure motives from impure motives. Oh, I like this right here. This is when you're really getting good. See, I'm going to show you here in a second how to sharpen your discerning skills, all right? We're going to look at that here in a second. But this is when you really get good. When you can sit down and you can talk to someone, and once again, I don't want you to get arrogant or cocky with this, but you can sit down and you can discern right through all the mess that they're putting out there, and you can see right to the heart. Sometimes, you'd be talking to some brothers, and they'd be running all this fluff, all this outward stuff, all this game stuff. And I say, come on, bro, come on, man. You talking to Reverend Glaze, man, all right? Let's get right down to it. Where you at, all right? You know, let's cut all this other stuff, put all this other stuff aside. Let's get right down here. Let's get right down to the heart. See, sometimes God gives you that ability to be able to sense when something on the outside is not right. And then you have to move beyond that, and you got to look to the inside. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And here we see that Peter and the apostles are doing miracles. And as they are doing miracles, there's an individual that has this desire to be able to go and do the same thing that they're doing. And look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. Look at this discernment right here on Peter's part. This guy, Simon, he saw these miracles that they were doing. He wanted to have that same power. In verse 18, and when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered him money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven. Look at this. For I perceive, I'm looking beyond what you just said, I'm looking beyond what you just done. I perceive that in you, that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Peter got right to this brother's heart. He went through all the fluff and puff, and he said, "Look, man, I perceive your heart, and your heart is in bitterness. Your heart is filled with wickedness." He looked beyond all that, and he made an assessment of this individual's heart.
We're going to take a break at this time from the message. Do you know anyone that's dealing with addictions? Have you been a part of a broken relationship, or do you know of relationships that are broken? Do you know someone who is giving care to another person, or maybe you yourself are a caregiver? Have you ever wanted to know how to minister to someone dealing with homosexuality? And as we look at our world today, there's crisis situations happening all the time. Do you know how to intervene in a crisis? Well, I just want to let you know, if you fall into any of those situations, your cry has been heard. We are having a biblical counseling conference here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 11th from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. We will be using the Bible to address these issues and help you to understand how you can integrate the scriptures as you minister to people dealing with addiction, broken relationships, people who are caregivers, people who are trying to understand homosexuality, and people who are dealing with a crisis. That we're going to show you how to use the Bible as a layperson to be able to minister to the glory of God. So why don't you come and join us for this biblical counseling conference on April 11th from 8:30 to 4. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. We look forward to being with you on April 11th. God bless you as you listen to the rest of the broadcast.
And you know, sometimes you may have to sit back, and God will give you the ability to be able to discern a person's heart. Now, once again, you know, sometimes we think that we know what a person is thinking. And oftentimes, if not, it may be of the flesh. Well, this is just what I feel. This is what I think. But God will show you sometimes. God will pull back the flesh in a person's life. And God will let you see what's in their heart. You know there are sometimes some people just can't hide stuff. You know, they might think that, you know, they got everybody fooled, and they might think that they got the wool pulled over everybody's eyes, but every now and then, they say something that lets it slip out. Now, once again, the only reason I make a comment on this, because it's in national TV. I believe Jesse Jackson let something out that was there. It was something that was down in his spirit, and something that was down in his heart. And you know what? Now, why in the world would you be on an interview and all of a sudden, you know, you could talk about the New York Mets, you could talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, you could talk about it's raining outside, all these other things could be on your heart, and you say one thing. See, sometimes what's in our heart will come out. And so, my brothers and sisters, sometimes all you got to do is be around the person long enough. And what's in their heart, what's in their spirit, you will see. You will see. And so God, and take that from the Lord. You know, that's why, once again, I say this all the time. Now, I get in trouble when I say this, but I'm going to say it again. You know, newlyweds, you know, when you're in that dating stage, you need to have a good fight. If you never fought, then you need to pick a fight. But I want to see how you respond when you get angry. I want to see what's going on in your heart. See, because if we're just tiptoeing through the tulips and everything is peaches and cream and everything is fine, then I don't know the real you. Because I haven't seen you at your worst. How many people that's dating go out of the house to meet your date? Don't brush your teeth. Don't wash up. Don't comb your hair. Don't put on your nice clothes. Why don't you do that? Because you don't want them to see the real you. So you put on all this other stuff to hide it and fix it up. All right? So that's why I say, you need to see the real person. You know, the real person. You're going to see them when they get angry now. And you're going to see if they got control over their spirit. And you're going to see how they handle rough situations. All right. Amen. All right. So discernment is that ability to distinguish the pure motives from the impure motives. And then it's the ability to discern the move of God. That if God is moving in your life and you've got discernment, then you know that God is moving. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. And he says to them in Matthew chapter 16. Then verse 1. The Pharisees with the Sadducees came testing him, desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. You can look up in the sky and see what the weather's going to be. You can look up at the sky and see all these insequential, insignificant things, and you can discern all these, but you can't discern when God is moving. You know your job. Left and right. You know your job, and you could do it with your eyes closed. You know your job. You know sports. You know all these other things. But you don't know when God is moving. You don't discern when the Spirit of God is moving in your life. And some people, you know, we have gotten to the point where they don't even know how to discern this move of God because you've been away from it for so long. You know, sometimes God just will begin to do something, some things around you. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to see where he's working. And then you got to join in with him. But some of us are so spiritually numb that God is working around us. And our discerner is broken. And we can't even discern when God is broken. You know, my testimony, real quick. You know, the house that we live in now, I didn't think that was for us. I didn't think that we could get a house like that. I just, it was in my mind. But God just kept doing stuff. There was a move. He said, look, I'm trying to get you here. And you keep fighting me. You keep resisting. And, you know, my wife and I had started looking somewhere else. We had started looking somewhere else. And the people in the home called the realtor and said to the realtor, how come the Glazers haven't made an offer on the house? I said, because we moved on. You know, we didn't think that. And then, to make a real long story short, they wanted $3,200 to close. I didn't have $3,200. Didn't have it. The best I could come up with was $2,000. Came up, sat down at the closing, thinking that, man, I'm going to look like the biggest fool in the world when I tell these people that I don't have the money to close. But something just kept moving me in that direction. Got there, and the man said, we can close your house for $2,000. I said, praise God. Praise God. But you know, sometimes we need to see that God is moving, that God is doing something, and we can't discern that it's God. And we run away from it and we resist it. My brothers and sisters, you got to be discerning. I like what it says about the men of Issachar, that they were discerners and they understood the times. They understood what God was doing. Now, on the charismatic side, and I'll say this real quick, you know, charismatic interpretation of discernment, you know, they basically say that it's insight into the spirit world, that you can look into the spirit world and you can see what's behind a lot of the, and you know, I truly believe that there's a satanic movement in our country today. There's a satanic movement behind some of the, all this pornography that's out there. There's a satanic movement that's out there that's trying to destroy families. All this nasty, filthy music. You know, there's a satanic movement that's out. You know, all this unbelievable killing. You know, I don't know if anybody see that YouTube video the day where they had this little, this teenager had this baby on this bouncing chair or something. And the teenager jumped on the chair and bounced, I don't know, a 16-month-old baby, bounced the baby off about 10 feet onto the floor. I said, now, is that a God? No way in the world that's a God. So, I mean, some of this stuff is just satanic. You know, the only way that you can think of something like that is to be influenced by Satan. Man, you're supposed to take a little baby and nurture the baby, love the baby, you know, protect the baby. You don't put it on a cushion and jump on it and catapult the baby up into the air on the floor. So, you know, there definitely is a satanic movement in our country today. And sometimes we have to look beyond what we're seeing and realize that, you know, there's some spirits at work here that's not right. And so not only is there the ability to look into the spirit world, but there's also this ability to sense when evil is present. Okay, and I'm gonna talk. Let me move on. The increase of discernment. Let me finish up. The increase of discernment. How can you increase your discernment? First of all, you got to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word needeth not be ashamed. Some people have, one radio personality has said that don't have to blush with embarrassment. That when you get out there and you begin to, you get under attack, that you don't have to blush with embarrassment because you've been in the Word of God. You've studied the Word of God. You know what's right and what's wrong. See, this Word tells me what's right and what's wrong. The Bible tells me what's right and what's wrong. And we live in this day when people say there's no absolutes. And to make a statement that there's no absolutes means that you just said an absolute. I believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And that if we will read it, it will show us how we should live, and it will show us what is right and what is wrong. I'm not dependent on Hollywood to tell me what's wrong. I'm not dependent on the government to tell me what's wrong. I'm not dependent on society to tell me what's wrong. Because if I look at all these things, that I can see things that they're clearly doing that's wrong. But I'm going to look at the Word. And I'm going to look at the Word. I'm going to study the Word. Because as I try to sharpen my discerner, that the Word of God tells me what's right and what's wrong.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Discerning of Spirits, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Discerning of Spirits or program number 080713. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Discerning of Spirits or program number 080713. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.